Welcome to the Goose and Ben Show, brought to you by the Ouachita Baptist University Signal Online Edition, your number one source for news about Ouachita Baptist University. My name is Townsend Keller, the Goose, and I will be bringing this sports podcast to you along with my good friend, Ben Thomas. Ben, how are we feeling tonight?
I'm doing great. I hope you're feeling phenomenal. This is the first time we're doing this. I'm real excited about it, real kind of pumped up that we kind of get to branch out a little bit, do our first podcast, talk about some sports and good stuff like that.
Excellent. I am excited to get it going. The first podcast for me as well. Ben and I both have some broadcasting experience, but that's live stuff. This is our first really talk show experience. So we're going to kick things off right now. Ben, this past weekend was probably the marquee weekend for people who do what we do and talk about sports media, the Super Bowl, a matchup of Super Bowl 42 4 years ago between the New York Giants and the New England Patriots. And it really brought up a lot of good questions for me about we'll get to Peyton Manning in a little bit, Eli Manning's legacy, Tom Brady's legacy. But the first question that came to my mind after I finished watching that game is, who do you take in a playoff game? Do you take Manning or Brady? Because Manning has been lights out in the postseason. Tom Brady hasn't won a Super Bowl or a playoff game. He had an 0-3 streak of playoff games, something like that, where he didn't win for three straight years. In fact, Bill Belichick hasn't even won a Super Bowl since the whole Spygate incident. So that was the number one question that came to my head. You take Eli Manning or Brady if you're in a playoff game?
Well, gosh, regular season, you almost have to go with Tom Brady. I mean, the guy is outstanding, brings his team back with a two-minute drill like nobody else does. Very Drew Brees-esque. If we're talking playoffs, we're talking Eli Manning. I mean, he's the guy that I think of. Personally, I'm a Cowboys fan, and he's the guy that I kind of love to hate a little bit because, you know, Eli Manning is just one of those guys that, you know, at any point in the game can really sting you whether it be a long pass or a short screen pass. The guy really has really an unlimited number of weapons, whether that be, you know, Cruz or Knicks. I mean, even the running back Brandon Jacobs, he's got guys that he can really throw the ball to and distribute the ball well in a line that blocks really well for him. So he's got a whole lot of options. So playoffs, have to take Manning.
I mean, it's who would have been talking about this, you know, 4 or 5 years ago? I mean, it wasn't even a question that you take Tom Brady. And here we are. Eli Manning is going to be, first of all, looking like a Hall of Famer. Who would have saw that coming 6 years ago? He's beaten Tom Brady in both the Super Bowls he's in. And everybody says, you know, Belichick's such a genius, Belichick this. Eli Manning has torn his defenses apart. And so it was the first question that came in my mind watching that game was, I want Eli Manning before I want Tom Brady in a playoff game. And I think also you have to consider it. There's really the Giants outmatched the Patriots without even a question. I mean, there is no unit on the New England Patriots besides maybe the quarterback and the linebackers that I would take over the Giants. And Eli Manning made the most of that. And Tom Brady, you know, as good as he is, I got to take Eli Manning. I mean, it just blows my mind that we're talking about this. The concept of taking the young Manning over Tom Brady.
I think, you know, Townsend, you make a good point. But the one thing that I would really like to point out is that, you know, the defense of the Patriots is not the best. Yes, their secondary is mediocre at best. But, you know, the way I saw Eli Manning play in the second half, really, you know, I don't care who you're playing in the secondary. The man was threading the ball in there. His receivers were catching the ball well because he was making accurate and great passes. You know, when we're talking Tom Brady and we're talking the defensive pass rush of the New England Giants, you know, he didn't have a whole lot of time. New York Giants. I'm sorry. That's all these names get me confused.
But I got you, man.
You know, New York really has a great pass rush, and that's something that we think of when we think the Giants. But they did well, but they didn't stand out to me at all, really, in the Super Bowl. The game was more or less won between quarterbacks, and, you know, Manning simply just outmatched Tom Brady, and that's the reason the Giants won the game.
Okay, here's an interesting stat for you. Passing first downs, 18 for New York, 15 for the Patriots. Rushing first downs, 7 for New York, 6 for New England. And third down third down efficiency, they were both pretty close, 5 for 11 and 6 for 12, New York and New England, respectively. And so they're matched. It's almost as if Eli Manning has come into his own as a Tom Brady caliber player. Is he there legacy-wise yet? Is he there, you know, a reputation yet? No, not at all. But you look at the stats here, passing 30 for 40, 27 for 41, Eli Manning had a better passing night than Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, Eli Manning, you know, simply, the one thing you don't see on the stat sheet is you know, crucial conversions. I think that somewhere on there's third down conversions, obviously. But, you know, key situations late in the game with 1 or 2 minutes left, Eli Manning is throwing the ball accurately and throwing the ball well. That's why he is a Tom Brady caliber player. The guy has grit and the guy has the ability to play late in football games.
Okay, I mean, you're saying Tom Brady caliber. We're speaking about a guy being better than a guy who has defined a caliber of quarterback. That's just how interesting this whole debate is over Eli Manning and how he's become an elite quarterback when 5 or 6 years ago they were trying to run him out of town along with Tom Coughlin, who's going to be a Hall of Fame coach now.
Well, 5 or 6 years ago, 5 or 6 games into this season.
That's good. 5 or 6 games ago, yeah. At one point, they were 7-7. Tom Coughlin was about to be on his butt looking for a job. I mean, it just blows my mind. Not only does it show how good Eli Manning is, it shows how good of a coach Tom Coughlin is for taking a 7-7 team who was decimated defensively. I think they had 5 or something injured reserve defensive starters that they lost for the season within the first 2 or 3 games. I mean, it's phenomenal. And they were trying to get rid of it. They've been trying to get rid of him for 5 years. He's like a bad penny. He doesn't go away. And, it just blows my mind. But we also made the point, would you take any unit, and what we're talking about, the offensive line, talking about the linebackers, of New England's over New York's? And the only two I can come up with is the quarterback, which is questionable at this point with Tom Brady, and maybe the linebackers. You got Brandon Spikes, who's a very good middle linebacker. You've got Gerard Mayo, one of the better outside linebackers in the game, over, you know, guys like Jared Bowley and Bowley is the middle linebacker for the Giants. You've got Mark Herzlich over there, who's kind of a rotational guy. What was the name of that guy that intercepted Tom Brady when he was trying to get to Gronkowski?
Oh gosh, I don't remember. Number 91, if I'm not mistaken.
Number 93, I can get that.
93, there it is.
Yeah, yep. I can get that. Blackburn, Chase Blackburn. And so not a lot of names that stand out. So that was the only two I could think of. Certainly not their secondary, because the New England secondary is just abysmal.
It's terrible.
Julian Edelman had to go back there and play safety. He was a quarterback at Kent State, a quarterback who converted to wide receiver in the NFL, who then had to convert to playing defense. That's how in shambles they were. I mean, there's really the linebackers and the quarterback are the only ones that are in question for me. Other than that, you know, I'm not taking any unit of the Giants over New England, for sure. I think it's a very interesting question. Bill Belichick's always hailed as such a genius, but this was really the first time that the Patriots have been outmatched in a playoff or in a Super Bowl. I mean, going back to the one 4 years ago, they had Randy Moss at wide receiver. He and Tom Brady had just broken all kinds of passing records. They had a pretty solid defense. They had Asante Samuel back there in the defensive backfield. They had Mayo. That was one of Mayo's better seasons, if I recall. They had Richard Seymour as a defensive lineman. He's now out in Oakland. So it was really the first time I saw the Patriots outmatched in the Super Bowl, and it was interesting to watch. I mean, I think it also shows Tom Brady, it's pretty much 1 against 53 out there this year's edition of the Patriots. Or it used to be 2 on 53, but then Gronkowski got a bum ankle. So it was just a very interesting thought that this is the first time New England's ever been personnel-wise outmatched in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, definitely a changing of the guard, if you will. Speaking of a changing of the guard, look at Peyton Manning and look at Eli Manning. We look at the comparisons between the two, obviously, with Peyton not doing as well Super Bowl-wise as Eli. You know, speaking about Peyton, Colts, do you think they're going to re-sign him?
You know, you look at Peyton Manning, and he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I don't think, position-wise, if You have to count championships in there, I realize, but you know, Dan Marino's considered one of the best of all time. He didn't win one. And so you look at that, and Peyton Manning, to me, he's undoubtedly one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He's certainly the best quarterback of my generation. I think he's better than Tom Brady. Tom Brady, he's good, but Peyton Manning makes third stringers look like superstars. And so, you know, they've got the first pick in the draft. I got so mad at the Colts because they're just going from one franchise quarterback to the next, and Andrew Luck, the kid coming out of Stanford. I mean, could that situation fall into your lap any better than it has? I mean, you're going from Peyton Manning, who's given you, when they draft him, 98, giving them 14 years of nothing but stellar quarterback play, and really, I don't see why you would keep him. You owe him $28 million in March when you got this kid from Stanford who's supposed to be the next Dan Marino. So I don't think they keep him. I think he's going to get released, and I think that's already been decided. I think Peyton's already come to terms with it.
Yeah, I definitely think you're right. I think it's more an issue at this point of if the Colts are going to keep him to mentor Luck, if you will. I think the experts on ESPN and, you know, sites like that's a valid argument. You know, if I was the coach of that team or whoever the general manager ends up being, you know, that's something I might think about, is keeping Manning for 1 year, kind of putting Luck under his wing. But Manning's certainly not going to be your starting quarterback, so it's not worth the price, in my opinion. Townsend, like you said, you know, I don't keep a franchise quarterback who's no longer my franchise quarterback and pay him the money of a franchise quarterback if he's not going to do so.
I mean, he'd still be there. He'd still be in the franchise quarterback. He'd just be the franchise quarterback of the past. And I don't know how well that dynamic would work when you've got the kid replacing you in the building, and you're trying to get the coaching staff is trying to get you to make him better when he's gunning for your job. So I don't know what kind of dynamic that means. I mean, the situation I look back on when I think about this is when Aaron Rodgers was drafted by the Packers. Brett Favre still had a good 2 or 3 years left to go on the Packers, and from what I remember, he didn't like Aaron Rodgers sitting behind him. He didn't help him. Aaron Rodgers has said over and over again he and Brett Favre did not have a good relationship. It wasn't that Brett Favre was a bad guy. I think it's just knowing that they are looking for an opportunity for this guy to be able to replace you, it's just not a good dynamic to have in a team and in a locker room. That's what I think. And especially when you owe the guy $28 million and you've got, what is it, a month to restructure that contract, I just don't see that lining up.
Join us again next week for the conclusion of the Goose and Ben Show.